Good evening and welcome to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. On today's show, Governor Snyder signs the ban on partial birth abortion into law this week, although a federal ban on the procedure already exists. Is this law anything other than a symbolic gesture? I'll talk to an official from Planned Parenthood. And insurance companies pushing for a major change to our no-fault car insurance law. But what will that mean to Michigan residents that suffer severe injuries and accidents? We'll talk about that. But first, a tentative contract agreement reached between the UAW and Chrysler, although the terms appear to be somewhat less generous to the 26,000 unionized Chrysler workers than those that were achieved by GM and Ford workers. To talk about the agreement and how UAW workers at all three companies fared, I'm joined by Art Schwartz, a former General Director of Labor Relations for General Motors and the President of Labor and Economics Associates. Welcome to the program, Art.
Thank you.
Now, the Chrysler agreement took 11 weeks to settle. Would you say that these were particularly contentious negotiations?
Well, they were probably a little more contentious than the Ford and GM negotiations were. And part of the problem being, of course, that Chrysler, having gone through a bankruptcy like General Motors, is not in quite the same financial standing as GM and especially Ford. So anytime you've got a company that's in a weaker financial position, you're going to find that the negotiations are going to be a little more contentious because they're going to be not willing to pay as much.
I know Chrysler's CEO seemed to be a bit more involved in the negotiations than the CEOs of the other two companies. Was that a factor in causing the longer time span for negotiations?
No, I don't think that really caused it to be much longer. I think it was the issues involved and the fact that Mr. Marchione was articulating those issues publicly probably didn't help. The UAW doesn't like negotiating in the press or in the public. But at the end of the day, I don't think that was a major factor. I think the problem was they had contentious issues and they've had a weaker company.
Why is the Chrysler contract then considered the least favorable for UAW workers of the three contracts?
Well, because it has the least guaranteed money. Potentially, if everything panned out, the Chrysler workers over the term of this contract could get more than the GM workers and only slightly less than the Ford workers, but it's not guaranteed. In reality, they've got $1,750 guaranteed in a signing bonus, and then they've got another $500 a year guaranteed. Everything else is contingent upon something. I expect a lot of it is going to be paid out, but the big difference in this contract is that the second $1,750 at Chrysler is contingent upon Chrysler reaching some sort of financial stability. I presume this has to do with the merger with Fiat and showing a couple of quarters of profitability. They've got other monies that are dependent on quality metrics and other monies that are dependent on world-class manufacturing metrics. So they are not guaranteed like they are. Most of it is in the GM and Ford agreements.
It's interesting that when it comes to union votes on a contract, that typically the results are very far from unanimous. Some say that having close to 40% of the union opposing a contract indicates that it's a fairly well-balanced agreement. Do you agree with that assessment?
Well, you know, it only has to pass by one vote to be ratified. The union is a political organization. You've got a widely diverse group of people belonging to the union. They're going to have widely diverse points of view, coming from very different backgrounds, many of them. And you're going to get people disagreeing and a lot of argument. Union meetings are often rather raucous in that people disagree with what's going on and they voice their opinion. So it's not unusual to find that you might get 35, 40, 45% of those voting against the contract, because a contract is a compromise. And any time you do a compromise, you've given up something that somebody wanted. And so they might vote no, even though 9 out of 10 things in the contract are great. The one thing they wanted wasn't in there. They vote no.
I'm talking to Art Schwartz, a former General Director of Labor Relations for General Motors and the President of Labor and Economics Associates. The fact that a strike was off the table for Chrysler workers as part of the bankruptcy deal, did that have any real impact on weakening the union's ability to effectively advocate its positions?
I don't think the union was thinking about a strike at any of the companies, so that probably did not have an impact. What may have had an impact is the binding arbitration that was on the table at GM and Chrysler only. There was a feeling, there was a little bit of a threat from the company that they would go to binding arbitration over a number of issues, and that may have had some impact. But at the end of the day, I really don't think either the company or the union wanted to give up the control that they would have to do if they gave it to an arbitrator.
The deal with Chrysler includes a signing bonus of $3,500, while GM workers received $5,000. Ford workers were promised $6,000. Are these signing bonuses considered a major contract incentive in general?
Well, I mean, they replace a pay increase or cost of living. All of these lump sums replace what used to be automatic increases. It's somewhat of an incentive to get it's called a signing bonus. You get it if the contract is signed, meaning ratified. So, yeah, it's an incentive. But keep in mind, again, that the Chrysler upfront payment is only $1,750. The other half of that $3,500 is contingent upon Chrysler achieving financial stability and therefore will not be paid right away.
When you look at the results of this year's UAW negotiations with the Big Three, should Bob King and the UAW leadership be applauded for what they've done, or should the UAW have been more demanding?
Well, I think they should be applauded. I think they've done an excellent job of balancing what their members needed with what the companies needed. And as we saw in 2008 and 2009, without a company, there are no jobs, there is no union. So you're on a bit of a razor's edge there. So they understand that. That doesn't mean that they just rolled over, because they got quite a bit of cash for their members, and they got a few other things that the members really wanted, having to do with supplemental unemployment benefits and things like that. So I would applaud Bob King and his leadership.
Ford workers are still voting on their contract. Do you expect that to be resoundingly ratified or at least ratified?
I don't expect it to be resoundingly ratified. I still expect that it'll be ratified, but it might be a little bit of nail-biting going down to the end. A couple of big locals have turned it down. We tend to hear more about the ones that turn it down than the ones that pass it, but we'll see. We knew that the Ford ratification was going to be the toughest. I still believe that.
Now, Ford is doing the best, and apparently they got the UAW workers at Ford got the best deal. What are they apparently unhappy about?
Oh, any number of things, ranging from Mulally's salary and bonus to some of them. There's a small group that is just philosophically against second-tier entry-level wages. They thought that should have been gotten rid of. Other people wanted COLA back in the contract. Other people wanted everything that came out of the contract in 2009 to go back in. It seems that everyone's got some kind of a beef. In reality, again, we got 9.1% unemployment in this country. This is a very good contract that they got here. But it seems that there's one thing that everybody's got one thing they're upset about. And given the good union tradition, they're voting no on this. I'm not sure what would happen if it didn't get ratified. They'd go back to the bargaining table, and then what? So I still think it's going to pass, but I think it's going to be closer than at first thought.
One last question. A book came out this month detailing GM's effort to merge with Ford ahead of its bankruptcy. Ford was sitting on quite a lot of money, and GM was hoping to save itself by this merger. How would that have impacted the auto industry in Michigan had that merger gone through?
Well, I don't usually get into what-if history, but I think one of the things that would have happened is Chrysler probably would have gone out of business at that point, because I don't know if the government, if that merger had happened, who knows what would have happened as far as a federal bailout in that case. But you know, it seemed clear that Ford had no interest in it, and it, you know, nothing came of it. So I guess I can't really speculate as to what might have happened had it happened. It's intriguing. It makes good story, but just it didn't happen.
And even with Chrysler posting a loss at this point, would you say that it appears the big three are on fairly sure footing at this point?
Well, GM and Ford certainly are. They're making good profits. Chrysler is a little behind. I think, I mean, they need the marriage with Fiat. They're good with minivans and Jeeps especially, and Fiat will help them with cars. So, I mean, if you look at it, they actually made money as far as operating profit if you didn't count the payback costs. So the business is starting to generate some money. It'll be interesting to see how the third quarter results show if Chrysler continues on that trend of going up. I would say in general the big three are on pretty a much stronger footing than they have been in years.
Art Schwartz, former General Director of Labor Relations for General Motors and now the President of Labor and Economics Associates. Thank you very much for joining me.
My pleasure.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.